Welcome to IdeaGen TV, live from the Embassy of Ethiopia here in Washington, D.C. Today, it is my privilege to welcome Alan Miller, founder of the News Literacy Project. Alan, welcome.
Thank you, George. It's great to be here.
You know, Alan, there's a lot of organizations doing remarkable things. But for the millions of folks that will be watching this on IdeaGen TV, I've got to say what you're doing is profound and timely. It's timely. And I'd love for you to just answer or describe for our global audience, what is it that the News Literacy Project encapsulates in terms of having involvement with so many sectors? And in your opinion, where have you seen your work have the greatest impact?
So our greatest impact has been with the next generation, middle school and high school students specifically. They are living in the most complex information ecosystem in history, one that they did not create and are not well equipped to navigate. They've got more good and credible information available to them literally at their fingertips than any other time, but it's competing for their attention with exponentially more information that's not intended to inform in an accurate, fact-based, dispassionate, and contextual way, but to persuade, to sell, to misinform, to exploit, and to inflame. So how do they navigate that landscape in a way that they can sort the news from the noise, the credible from the incredible, and the actionable from the execrable? So we have worked for the first dozen years, was our sole focus, now it remains a prime focus, with reaching students through educators in every state in the country to empower them to be able to do this in a way that is responsible, incredible, and really lifts up their voices. And I've seen through both my experience in classrooms, through anecdotes, and through our data, that this critical thinking skill is really an essential skill in this information age, and it is incredibly empowering and transformative for young people in particular.
You know, Alan, and so as the News Literacy Project works with so many communities across America to implement your solutions, specifically in course criteria, how does that all work?
So this is such a broadly applicable skill that we have found that, you know, we're able to work with teachers who are teaching history, social studies, government, English, humanities, and journalism. It's also been used by many librarians, and it can be integrated. We have a virtual classroom we call Checkology, which is highly adaptable and extremely engaging. And it can be integrated when educators are teaching about the First Amendment or about the press and politics, or when they're giving students, you know, skills to use primary sources and do research. And we've really found that we work both top down and bottom up. So educators have found us all across the country and, in fact, all across the world and use Checkology. And then we're working directly with more than three dozen school districts, including those in the largest districts in urban areas in New York, Los Angeles and Chicago, but also districts in South Carolina, Texas, and Alabama and Indiana. So we are rigorously nonpartisan, and we've been able to work with teachers and districts in red states, purple states, and blue states, urban areas and rural areas to reach students throughout the country.
Love that. Rigorously nonpartisan. That's a good way to describe it. And so you're well on your way to establishing the News Literacy Project across America. What's next for the international stage?
So, you know, we created Checkology in 2016. It was really a domestic-based platform. It's in English. We had a lesson on the First Amendment. And most of the media examples we use are from the U.S. But what we found, of course, is that mis- and disinformation and conspiratorial thinking know no boundaries. I mean, this is an existential global challenge. So we had seen educators using the platform in well over 100 countries. We responded to that by creating a lesson on World Press Freedoms. We also created a lesson in English and in Spanish. And we've done work throughout the world at conferences and doing professional development and webinars. We have a colleague who's based in Barcelona who handles our international work. And we are poised, if there was interest and support, potentially to create a version of Checkology for other countries and in other languages, and using journalists in those countries and media in those countries, because, you know, we've seen that in places like Myanmar and India, you know, that disinformation can be used to incite ethnic violence and lead to tragedies and death. So this is a global need.
And so accessibility, how do you ensure that the technology is accessible to folks across the world?
So we use the best practices to ensure that we're meeting the accessibility standards. We also have made ease of use a prime goal in creating our platforms and other resources. And we're actually building more internal design capacity to be able to do more of both. The other thing is that we've told our partners from the beginning, we've asked them to help us make our resources as effective as possible for those they reach. So for instance, educators have shown us how to make Checkology, you know, more accessible to them and more impactful with their students. And we're now, I'm proud to say, working with AARP to reach their 38 million members. And they are helping, they're guiding us on how to do that in a way that is most effective for those who they serve.
Love AARP. In terms of the way you partner with external stakeholders, why is that important and how do you do that?
So we believe partnerships are absolutely essential. You know, we've got a big mission now. We're not just working with the next generation, with all generations, and looking to turn our mission into a national movement. And we know we can't do that alone. We need to leverage our resources, our expertise, our reputation to work with others. And fortunately, we have done so from the beginning. Early on, I enrolled over 36 news organizations as partners. And when we had a foundational classroom program, we had over 400 journalists working with us. We're still doing that with news organizations who are helping get the word out, who are doing events with us, and journalists who are enrolled in our Newsroom to Classroom program, where they go in either virtually or in person to supplement Checkology. We also have a major partnership with EW Scripps Company to create a National News Literacy Week. And this is a week in late January, early February, where we really elevate the profile of news literacy, underscore its connection to democracy, give people the tools and skills to become more news literate themselves. And this past year, we had over 55 organizations that participated as well. Major news outlets give us pro bono ad space to promote what we're doing. Scripps news stations do pieces on news literacy. And we're working with AARP, as I mentioned. We're working with Microsoft as well to promote our newest platform called RumorGuard, which is push back on viral rumors, gives people the tools to do that and to debunk them, and also to learn how to do that debunking themselves. And we are always looking for new partners to help amplify our voice and extend our reach.
You know, Alan, that's incredible. And so how do you then look at success? How do you measure that with respect to news literacy?
So from the beginning, we've had very rigorous goals and metrics against which to measure our success. So the first thing we look at is our reach. Right now, this current school year, we've got over 11,200 educators who are using our resources to teach over 1.8 million students. We now, since we started Checkology in 2016, we've reached nearly 500,000 students who have done one or more lessons on the platform. I mentioned we started RumorGuard, a new platform for the general public. We started that in October. We've already had over 250,000 unique impressions. We've got 3,100 champions who are getting our weekly RumorGuard alerts and helping push back against misinformation. And then we've got two newsletters, one for educators called The Sift, another for the public called Get Smart About News, that debunk the most current viral rumors, conspiracy theories, and hoaxes. And we've got nearly 47,000 subscribers to them. I might mention all of our resources are available at no cost. And then beyond those numbers, we measure impact. So we do pre and post unit assessments on Checkology for students. And we know that students who complete lessons learn the standards of quality journalism and how to use them as a yardstick against which to measure all news and information. They're better able to discern credible information. They learn about the First Amendment. They learn the five freedoms. They learn the importance of the First Amendment. And they also learn about the watchdog role of journalism and the role it plays in a democracy. So we use the data not only to see how we're effective, but also how if we're missing marks in any place, how to make our resources and programs more effective to reach them.
And so, Alan, how do you help with the values that promote news literacy? How do you begin to do that?
So this is a prime goal for us now. We feel that misinformation, disinformation, conspiratorial thinking are truly an existential threat to our democracy. And we really want to engage the public in a way that people take personal responsibility about the news and other information that they consume, and especially that they share, so that they become part of an information solution instead of the misinformation problem. And so our goal here is to engage the public, to use partners and others to change the culture. We want to make a change along the societal change along the lines we've seen around issues like drunk driving and smoking and littering, where people say misinformation stops with me. I'm going to help debunk, push back, be more responsible. And it really begins with people just being aware of the role they play in the information ecosystem, that they can be more mindful about what they're seeing and particularly what they do with it, and ask themselves, what am I looking at? Can I tell who created it? What's the purpose? Is this intended to inform me in an accurate and dispassionate way, or intended to inflame or mislead or persuade in some way? And then to really ask, is it responsible of me to share this or to act on this? And this is what we need to really, you know, push back against this rising toxic tide of misinformation.
Incredible. And so what's next for you and the News Literacy Project?
So I'm very proud to say, having started NLP 15 years ago now and helped found the field of news literacy, you know, we are the national leader. We see a great opportunity and a great responsibility to use what we've learned, what we've created, the incredible talents of our team, to reach a much wider audience, have much greater impact. I mean, the numbers I ticked off, they're a good start, but they're only a start in a country of 330 million people. And so I think really the critical thing for us is we're looking for new participants, new partners, new patrons to help expand our reach and impact, you know, whether that be foundations or corporations or news organizations, school districts, individuals. We want others to join the mission and to turn it into a national movement.
Alan Miller, founder, News Literacy Project. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, George. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.